Welcome to the Barrel Chat Podcast, where we provide an unfiltered look into the craft beer industry from the untrained palates of two dumbass outsiders. I am Matthew Muncy, and as always, I'm joined by Dustin Wood. Dustin, how are we doing?
Fantastic. It's been a great recording session. We are now, this is the fourth episode on the same day, but great beers, great conversations, a little bit of give and take, a little bit of interesting beers, a little bit of surprise on some of the ratings, as you may have listened to the last episode from the Highland Brewing Company's stuff. So you never know what's going to land really, really high until you do it.
And if you have a question, you know, if you have a question like, well, you know, you're four in, how can you judge these very well? One, we don't drink much of the beers. This one's been unique because they've all been 12-ounce cans. But we, you know, we don't necessarily drink them all. They're not all really big. We're drinking water in between. I usually got like pretzels or something, kind of clear the palate. So we do our best to make sure that that everything is kind of done right and proper. What kind of a side rant, when we went to Winterfest this year, you know, we are in the habit of just pouring water into our cup and just drinking it to clean it out. And I remember being in line and doing that, and someone was like, oh, that's really smart. It's just like, man, that's...
That's hydration and that, cleaning your palate.
Yeah, it's like, why... You see so many people use the water to just swirl it and then dump it out. It's like, why wouldn't you just drink that? That literally is hydration. Like,
you, but it tastes gross because it's got beer in it.
Yeah, you won't. It's beer, dude. Just shut up and drink it.
What do you think one of the base ingredients
There's
of
no water beer in
is?
Beer.
So I just always find that funny when I see people do that. And I'm just like, just drink it. Like, it's going to help you. And some of those people at Winterfest definitely need the water. So.
Yeah, did you see some of the posts from Dark Lord Day?
Yeah, those
people
dead on the ground.
There was a Haze Boys post from Dark Lord Day that was just a bunch of pictures rotating through of people just PTFO, like just getting sick, having vomit all over their shirts. Yeah, like, guys, prepare for those things. Like, be smart. Dark Lord Day is going to be a bunch of fucking stouts before you even get to Dark Lord. So don't die. I've been there. Don't recommend it.
Before we jump into the show itself, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok. Just look up Barrel Chat Podcast on any of those platforms to find us. You can also do that on YouTube if you would prefer to listen to our episodes through YouTube. We are there now. If you do enjoy this show, we ask that you think about leaving us a rating on the podcast app that you use or YouTube now. You know, that's just nice to have. And then you can also join our Discord server, which is basically a chat room. And all you have to do is reach out to us via DM or send us an email, barrelchatpodcast@gmail.com. We will shoot you an invite. We got listeners. We got brewers. You know, it's kind of growing slowly every day. I know Discord is not something that a lot of people use, but, you know, if you are interested in getting in and chatting with us about the beers that we're drinking, the beers that you're drinking, stuff like that, you can also, you know, I think it'd be cool to have like a whole, you know, little side server dedicated like brewer questions. So like people like us who are not brewers can ask, you know, and learn more about what they're doing in there and why maybe the beers that they enjoy so much they do enjoy, or, you know, things like that. So just make sure you shoot us a message and we'll let you in. If you got any questions about Discord, just let us know. I'm happy to help anybody get that set up because I do think it is a fun experience. Today's beer is kind of, it's interesting, but I think after learning a little bit more about it, the interest kind of wanes a little. So this beer is from Upper Hand Brewery, which is out of Escanaba, Michigan. They have a 3.68 on Untappd, and they are a subsidiary of Bell's Brewery, which means Bell's is their parent company, and it was started by the owner of Bell's. So it's a completely separate brewery, it seems, that makes separate beers, but they're owned by Bell's.
Yeah, because I found this started at Bell's by Tap Room.
Yeah. This isn't AB InBev buying someone out situation.
It was weird. I walked in and was like, what the hell is that can? And looked at it and was like, well, I got to buy it now because I don't know what a finished stout is. Also, I don't know where this place is, but Bell's is selling it out of their tap room. This is strange.
So Upper Hand is in the upper
in the
peninsula. Yep, they are definitely youpers. So this beer is Sisu Stout. Pretty sure I'm pronouncing that right. I looked up how to pronounce it. S-I-S-U. And it said Sisu, which is an imperial stout. It is and they write on here, barrel-aged Finnish style stout. So here's the sort of conundrum with this. You see Finnish style stout. You say, I've never had a Finnish style stout. I'm going to buy this and figure it out. Well, then you start looking and researching what is a Finnish style stout, and you can't find anything. Because apparently that does not exist. I was able to find absolutely nothing about anything that is recorded as a specific Finnish style stout.
Like a Finland stout? That's weird.
Nothing. There's nothing on their own website that describes the difference. I looked at news articles. There's absolutely no difference in the news articles. Even on Beer Advocate, people are like, this is a good beer. I have no idea what a Finnish style stout is, though. What I have come to deduce, and I think I'm right, is that simply Sisu is a Finnish word. And what that is it's a concept that describes a stoic determination, tenacity of purpose, grit, bravery, resilience, hardiness. So almost what we would probably call like blue collar in a way. Like you're not giving up. You're trying to make something that you know, maybe someone else doesn't think you can make. A little bit of that. So I think the whole Finnish style is just them saying we took determination, tenacity, grit, bravery, all this stuff to make this stout. Maybe it's a people in Michigan, people in Upper Michigan. Maybe a barrel-aged stout isn't what they want. Maybe that's not what they're looking for. Maybe that's not what their customer base is used to. And so they took a chance on something, and that's what they came out with.
Yeah, I picked it up because it said it was a barrel-aged Finnish-style stout. And I was like, okay, no idea what that is, but, I mean, we host a podcast. I'm going to pick this can up. I could buy one. And it was interesting. I had no idea that they were owned by Bell's. I should have probably made that connection, but c'est la vie.
So for the beer notes, 10% ABV, they do not list IBU, has a 3.96 on Untappd. That's out of 1,700 ratings. Flavors of chocolate, roasted coffee, caramel, blended perfectly with aged bourbon oak characters of vanilla and maple. And then I found they have a sort of a different description on their own website of it. A bold and bulletproof hibernator of a beer, Sisu is our tribute to Finnish grit and grandeur. Every batch is laid to rest in whiskey barrels over the long UP winter. And like any good youper, it comes out the other side swinging. I'd like to know what kind of whiskey. I couldn't find that either. Like what kind of whiskey barrels it goes into.
Whiskey makes sense now that you say whiskey because I smell it. And I was like, this doesn't smell like bourbon, but it's definitely whiskey.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be interesting. So let's start with the can design. First thing I'm going to point out is either remove or explain better what a Finnish style stout is. Because I think that's a really crappy.
Yeah.
That's a crappy thing to do. Because like you said, you bought it specifically because of Finnish style stout, which we could have just bought it because it's an imperial stout and we love to talk about those. Yeah. But then I spent, you know, half an hour last night trying to figure out what the hell a Finnish style stout was just to come up with the idea of like, I think it's just referring to.
We're going to do this because we
their
can.
Grit and grandeur.
But this can is not pretty. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a lot going on that I don't quite really grasp. The logo itself in the center of the can The Sisu Stout is fine, but it, I know these are supposed to be shovels next to the logo, but to me, it looks like grill pieces, like you're going to be grilling while you're like drinking this beer, and those are like flipping your burgers or something. It just, I don't know, it doesn't feel like it's good placement of what's going on. I do really love, if you remove the logo and the guy shoveling snow, ironically enough, in the
there's Uber, also a guy pushing a car on the other side.
Yeah, there's a guy pushing a car out. So basically they're saying the winters here suck ass.
Upper Peninsula. Yeah.
There's a dude snowshoeing. But I love the like wispy sky that's happening with the snow falling and the like silhouettes of the trees. That is beautiful artwork. Like, just it looks very kind of Van Gogh-y with the like swirling sky. I also really enjoy the drink up, but it's a drink U.P. So it's drink Upper Peninsula. But I just, it's just a cool, it's just great. Like, drink in is okay, but drink up is dope. Like, that's a dope ass branding for a location for the Upper Peninsula. I'm guessing these are the coordinates to the brewery.
That's
what
I would assume, yeah.
It's got a bunch of stars, way too many for me to count. And it's got some sort of coordinates. Is it the prettiest beer can? No. Do I like parts of it? Yeah, for sure. Some of it's really hard to like deduce, kind of understand what's going on. I picked it up because of the word finish, but I want to peel this label off and see what the can is behind it, because it's something, it's branded behind it, so I want to know what it is.
I will say I like how playful the beer, the label is. With all of the, you know, the winter stuff, you get the guy walking with his
snowshoes
on. You got the guy shoveling. You got the guy pushing a stuck car. The Sisu, yeah, it there's something about it that makes it look like a graphic from a Food Network show.
Yeah, like the Iron Chef logo or something.
And so, like, the shovels are there, but, like, now I kind of understand after looking at it a little bit more what you mean by that. Because they're clearly shovels, but it just kind of feels weird.
It feels like if you watch Cutthroat Kitchen, whenever the Cutthroat Kitchen logo comes on and the thing swings and goes, I feel like I could hear those things.
Yeah,
swinging.
There's just something about it, like the whole Sisu Stout graphic is just straight History Channel Food Network vibes. Like, that's what I get, and, like, it's okay. It's not great. It is interesting, because, like, you put that next to the Gaelic Ale, and it's kind of like, It's definitely, I'm going to buy the Sisu Stout before the Gaelic Ale.
Because you didn't know what the fuck it was.
But I think a lot of that, too, has to be, it's a stout. It's a bigger stout. I think it's a little bit more playful on it. I think it could be cleaned up a little bit. It does seem to have way too much going on on the front.
Like, I feel like they could have done...
The sides seem very clean, and the front seems just like... Because that upper hand logo right above... And
it's way
huge,
too big.
It's way too damn big. And it just clashes with the Sisu Stout logo, and
The upper hand logo should have been like a translucent blue to the side over one of the skies. They could have shrunk the Sisu Stout logo down, showed more of whatever's behind it. There's something behind it. I don't know what it is. So they just took this wallpaper and stuck their logo on top of it, what it looks like.
That is kind of how it feels, That there's, like, some really good wallpaper that they just put a couple things on.
It doesn't feel Bell's for what that's worth, so
they
must
not
use the same, like, designer.
I don't know. Maybe it fits with the Upper Peninsula. Maybe there's something we're missing because we're not Upers.
Although I want to go. So.
But it feels like a little too much. And then it does kind of look a little bit kind of gritty at the top here, because, like you said, that's all just,
The can's printed. The label is stuck on top of another beer label. So if you look under the front finish, there is, like, another label that's printed above below it. So I want to see what it is.
I guess I didn't notice it was a label, but I thought that that was all wrapped and it was like crappily wrapped, but no. Okay. Yeah, the coordinates is interesting too. I've never seen that on a beer. It's like you can tell they had fun with it. It just isn't the prettiest thing to look at, to be honest. So let's hop into the beer itself now. We're going to go through the BJCP beer style guidelines for an Imperial Stout. The overall impression is what to expect out of this beer when you put appearance, aroma, flavor, and mouthfeel all together. So this is highly flavorful and robust stout, known for a rich and dark profile. Features roasted and burnt malt notes, accompanied by a complex blend of dark and dried fruit flavors. Finishes with a warming and bittersweet sensation. Achieving a well-balanced and harmonious beer is crucial, requiring proper melding of the intense components. And then obviously when you add barrel aging into it, that adds a completely different factor sometimes to it. So with this one, you're going to want to taste the whiskey or the bourbon. You know, obviously, yep. This was, they say, aged in whiskey barrels. So you want to be able to taste that whiskey, but you don't want it overpowering. You don't want it too hot, stuff like that. You want to still be able to actually taste the beer itself through all this.
Not a hot mess.
Yeah, exactly. For appearance, color ranges from very dark reddish brown to jet black.
This is as brown gets.
Yeah, like that one I actually get. Like I can look at the very bottom of this and see like, oh, that's brown.
It's not black and it's not light brown. It is like brown, brown. Like this looks like cold coffee.
That's interesting.
It is brown, brown. I don't know if that I've ever seen a true brown beer. Like it's definitely.
Well, I mean, brown ales are brown.
Yeah, but even that's a little lighter. Like this is just like that. When you tell somebody brown, this is what I think of.
Yeah, you are not wrong. The beer typically forms a deep tan to dark brown head, which may have low to moderate retention.
This is interesting because it's really light. It's like a super light tan. This is basically the same color as the head that was on the Gaelic.
Yeah, it's not much different. And again, I know we got two different glasses, but mine is retained pretty well, so that's good. Means there's good carbonation in it, even for a barrel-aged beer. And that, to me, is always a plus because I know that it's not going to be flat when I drink it like some of the other beers I continue to buy in cans lately. For aroma, this beer offers a rich, deep, and complex experience combining roast, fruit, hops, and alcohol in a pleasant way. So a lot of, the roastiness from the malts is going to bring out coffee, chocolate, stuff like that. And then obviously you're going to want the whiskey to kind of come through. So that booziness that you get.
There is a ton of booziness, but not in a bad way. It's like a nice booziness that rounds out the malt and the like dark roasts. But I also get like raisin and some sort of other like fruity esters that are coming through that are like the dark fruits.
I think on the aroma, there's definitely some raisin-esque to this. And I think you do get the alcohol coming from the whiskey, but it's almost like a perfumey kind of, or like if you smell peroxide or something, like not that smell, but like those kind of fumes is what I'm picking up, is like alcohol fumes instead of just like the barrel aged kind of alcohol that we would typically get.
Yeah. It's interesting on the nose. It's not exactly what I expected it to smell like, but I don't dislike it.
No, I think it smells exactly like you would expect a barrel aged Imperial Stout to smell like. You just don't get, a lot of the other notes. Like I feel like the raisin and the barrel have kind of overtaken. So it's not like you're really pulling a lot of roastiness or chocolate or coffee or anything like that. It honestly smells hot.
It does.
Which
is weird because when we get to the next step, I don't think that it is. So
yeah, but that's kind of what I get out of the smells. Like my first instinct is, oh, this is going to be somewhat of a hot mess and that you're just going to get more alcohol than almost anything else.
Just whiskey and that's it.
But there is like a nice like kind of caramel toffee sweet flavor to it that I do enjoy, like mixed with the raisin. It is rather enjoyable smell. So for a flavor, profile of this beer is a complex blend of roast, fruit, hops, and alcohol. So again, typically with these stouts, you're going to get chocolate, coffee, maybe some chocolate bitterness, some roastiness. Then when you start adding in the barrel, you're going to get those kind of whiskey flavors. And a lot of that too depends on the whiskey. Yep. Like, you know, that's kind of the bummer of not telling us what it is, because, you know, I doubt it's a rye whiskey barrel, obviously, but if it was a rye whiskey barrel, like, that's going to be completely different than just regular whiskey. And
they'd probably at least, you know, put that
on. Or the, like, yeah, or like if you're looking at bourbon and just how long did you age it in the whiskey barrels, because that can also play a factor.
Was it 7 days or?
Yeah, 7 months or 7 years or, you know, whatever it may be. I do think that information like that would be helpful from a review guideline. What are we thinking on flavor?
So what really jumps out to me, while the stout base is still there, the barrel is there, the like roasted notes are there, I think what jumps out to me the most is the like oakiness to it.
It definitely is very, like, the barrel,
yeah,
definitely comes through.
And I'm not mad about that, because I don't get that in a lot of beers. It's a lot of barrel. There's a pretty good malt backbone, a pretty good like roasted backbone. But I think the biggest flavor profile for me is that barrel.
Yeah, you definitely get a lot of the barrel. It does make me wonder if like they maybe age this thing on oak chips or something, like maybe in a barrel or outside the barrel, just because of how much of that oak really comes through.
It's a very sweet, like, smoky oak.
Yeah. And I definitely get, there's a good amount of sweetness in here that is not from, like, the roasted malt and stuff, and it's not a chocolate sweetness. It's like a fruity kind of sweetness, but it's more of, like, raisin or almost like a dark cherry.
Yep.
Like, I kind of, that was where my mind went, was...
Like cordial?
Something like that, where it's not like that cherry, that normal cherry flavor, but kind of like a rather...
Not a Matt Muncy cherry?
Nope. But just something like, I don't, and this is where I struggle how to put words together for stuff like this, but like when you eat a raisin, you know it, and there's kind of like a deeper flavor profile to it, and then like some of those cherries that you eat have that same kind of deeper, rich profile instead of like that super sweet profile. I don't know what that's called. Probably should look that up. But that's kind of what I get out of this. There's a little hint of that. I'm not gonna lie to you. When I first tasted this beer, I thought it was disgusting. And as it's kind of warmed up, I feel like some of these flavors have kind of come out a little bit more. And like the more drinks I've taken of it, the more I've sort of enjoyed it. And it's like, okay, there is a little bit more to this than kind of what it was. And
it's not hot like it smells. It's weird. It's super hot on the nose, but it does not drink like it's an alcohol bomb. I think the flavor profile is really interesting. Is it the best one I've ever had? No, by any means. But is it unique enough that if I found it on tap, would I try it again? See what it was? Yeah, for sure. I'd like to see the difference between that. Or I'd like to try the base beer.
Like, there's something about it that, like, this feels like something that they probably sell year-round and not just as a one-off.
Yeah, because it's a light.
And it kind of tastes like that.
Yep.
It reminds me of Czar.
Yep, kind of.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, Czar wasn't year-round, but there's something about it that kind of reminds me of Tin Man Brewing Czar that they used to make. Like, it's good enough. It's not perfect, but it's not terrible.
The next bullet point's where we're going to miss out, I think, a lot, because it's, yeah, we'll get there.
So for mouthfeel, you are looking for full to very full-bodied and chewy texture that is velvety and luscious. With aging, the body and texture may diminish. A gentle, smooth warmth should be subtly present, while the carbonation is low to moderate. Now, I think this is pretty good carbonation.
That's really well carbed.
Yeah.
What I think it's going to miss on here is it's, and it could be the aging, but it's thin. Not like it's not terrible because the flavors are there and everything, but it's thinner than I want this beer to be.
I'd say medium body-ish. This was actually, when I was looking it up on Beer Advocate, several people had mentioned that it's pretty thin.
Yeah.
So this is not the thinnest stout we've had on the show by a large margin. But it's not chewy. It's not super thick. And
it is not by any means the thickest one we've had on the show either.
I just feel like that what they didn't go for, they didn't go for that. Like they went for a drinkable barrel-aged stout.
This feels like a sessionable barrel-aged stout,
yes,
which is weird.
Even at 10%. Like nothing in this beer screams 10%.
No. You could drink three of them and then stand up and go, wow, I done fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing in this screams 10%. So that's a really well done characteristic that I know we enjoy with stouts, with these bigger stouts of like, I don't necessarily want to taste the 10, 11, 12%.
Yeah. I mean...
But it's, there is a dangerous quality when you like completely hide.
Yeah, this beer hides it really well. I mean, if you know whiskey, you know that it's aged in whiskey. You can tell, so you just assume it's going to be higher ABV.
Yeah,
but you know, if somebody just poured this into it, it literally feels like a porter. Like when you're drinking it, the viscosity is thicker than that, but like the drinkability and the sessionable amount feels like a porter.
It is funny. I did not really know what to expect, and after the first couple of drinks, I was not really sold, and now, you know, 27 minutes later, it's like, you know what? This isn't as bad as I initially thought.
It feels like a foreign stout.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it came from Norway or England or something like that.
A Finnish stout?
but it just feels like that. So
I mean, maybe there is more to it than what we just couldn't find. Like, maybe there is something about this that is a European, Norwegian style of maybe brewing or ingredients or something that they literally just do not tell you about anywhere, and I just could not find. But you're not wrong. Like, it does. There is something about it. It's almost like a Guinness making a barrel-aged stout.
Yeah, it feels a lot like that maybe, I mean... That may be true. Like, it feels like if we were to make a non-nitro barrel-aged stout, which in a few months I might find. I don't know. I'll be in Ireland, so I'll try. But it feels like it came from another country.
Yeah.
Like, not a bad way, but it's just, I feel like I can always tell when we have an American versus a non-American style. Unless it's like Evil Twin or something where literally they're fucking American breweries just outside of America.
But I think that might just come back down to like calling it almost like sessionable. Like, we are used to these big, bold, barrel-aged stouts, and this one is more of a, we're going to have it on tap all the time, barrel-aged stout. And like, who does that?
I would love that.
Yeah. But it's just like, who does that? Apparently Upper Hand does.
Like, if you could go to Sun King and get some of their like barrel-aged stouts that are the more sessionable ones available all the time, fuck yeah. I would be totally on board with that.
Well, and then on top of this, like, it's just an Imperial Stout. It's not an adjunct.
Yep.
So like, they really just, you know, seemingly brew whatever their normal stout is and just put it in some barrels. Like, and you're in Michigan, so barrels can't be that hard to come by.
You just sit it outside and let it get snowed on.
And there's no, you know, there's no real limit on that either when it comes to, like, whiskeys and stuff. So, like, you can just continually, you can probably use these a few times before they're bad and go from there. And who's to say, I don't know, does Bell's do distilling at all? You know, or do they maybe own a place that does distilling? Like, maybe it's really easy to get it. Like, there's all kinds of ways to kind of go around all this stuff.
I'm surprisingly shocked at how much I like it.
This is on that Gaelic ale level of like, I am surprised that I enjoy this as much as I do.
It lingers a lot for a light, like, bodied beer. So the flavor profile lingers a lot. It's interesting. I continue to keep taking drinks of it to try and find more flavor profiles. So that's, to me, that's a sign of an interesting beer, because I'm like, okay, I got this. Now let's see if I can get this, or, you know, what's this going to do? Or
I think the only thing missing is that you lose a lot of the base beer.
Yep.
Like, a lot of that is just, or at least in this can, is not there. You don't get the roastiness. You don't really get the chocolate. You're not pulling any coffee. A lot of raisin, dark fruit, and the barrel.
So what's Bell's, like, is it Expedition there?
Yeah, Expedition style.
This actually, like, it's thinner than, but it has a lot of the same flavor profiles.
You should bring that as one Expedition on. I love Expedition style.
So wouldn't surprise me if it's a similar base recipe, not the same. Or maybe it is the same, and they just brew it at a different location, and it doesn't come out as good, like, thickness-wise, but it's got the same, like, raisin flavor profile as Expedition. Expedition's.
I haven't had Expedition in so long. I don't remember. I just remember I like it, but I do not remember what it tastes like.
It's good beer, for sure.
It is good beer. I remember. Well,
Bell's makes good beer.
At least it was.
For what it's worth. I mean,
that is true.
I assume this is the only upper hand I've ever had. I've never heard of them until now. Actually, until, you know, 4 weeks ago or whatever it was when I bought this, and it's just sat in my refrigerator since. But it's definitely one of those beers that's better than I anticipated it to be.
Did you bought this when you went to Michigan, right?
Yep.
So not probably not something we get here.
Nah, probably not.
Not that I've ever seen.
I've never even seen them on shelves. I just happened to see them at Bell's, where we were.
All right, let's talk list.
It's interesting to me because it's not what I think I traditionally gravitate towards for a bourbon barrel or a whiskey barrel aged style, but I love all the roast. I love all the, like, flavors that are happening. The raisin is nice. I like a good raisin flavor in beer. You don't get a lot of those because everybody goes super sweet and super syrupy on their adjuncts, so I think they kill that flavor a lot. Some of my favorite, like, Old Rasputin, I believe, is
I like that, a good Old Rasputin.
Yeah, which is very raisin forward. So it reminds me a little bit of that. And I truthfully think it could fall top 20 somewhere. I have no fucking clue where. Honestly, I think it's better than Juni Swirl.
Okay. What about Odd Side Rye Hipster Brunch?
I think it's close to that. I remember liking that one quite a bit, but I also remember the vanilla came out of that one badly, and I actually got that problem.
So Odd Side, we currently have at 15, and then Juni Swirl, we have at 18.
Okay. So I think it could be slightly better than Odd Sides, but I don't know that it touches the top 10.
I was going to say Westbrook is at 12, and I don't think it touches Westbrook.
Yeah, I think it's like a 15.
I think the big thing going for it is that this is a 12-ounce can that seemingly gets made quite often, because 1,900 check-ins or whatever it was is not something to snuff at from, you know, what most of these
barrel-aged things, like 60 or...
Yeah. Yeah, so you're putting out the same thing almost constantly. There is, like, to a degree, like, that makes it pretty unique.
Yeah, I mean, while I don't think it's better than Westbrook, I think it's close to the same, like, playing field.
It's almost in its own playing field.
It is. It
which
feels
makes
like
it hard.
It feels like a house bourbon barrel.
Yes. That. I don't know why we haven't said that until right now, but that's exactly what this feels like, is a house beer that they put into a fucking barrel.
Man, I think to me that reminds me a lot of Goodwood's stuff, where everything they do goes into some sort of wood, whether it's a barrel on chips, on like a wood bat or anything. That's their name. That's Goodwood. Every single beer they touch does something in wood. So it feels like, honestly, it could be brewed by them. And it wouldn't shock me if you told me that Goodwood brewed this. If you just poured it into a glass and you handed it to me, them are Kentucky bourbon barrel beers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It feels a lot like that, like, level of bourbon barrel aged.
But, like, better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, that.
Well, I don't know about Goodwood, but Kentucky, those, like, those are pretty good, but this is actually.
Like, that's what my uncle would drink because he yeah. thinks it's, like,
yeah.
a step up from Bud Light, which it is, but that's like that.
Yeah, it is the boomers.
Yeah,
barrel aged beer.
It's, it is, and then that's it's available in Greencastle. It's available in Franklin. It's available in every small town, just like that in New Holland's. Whatever the fuck theirs is called, the
Dragon Reserve.
Yeah, those things are everywhere. Now they make some great ones, but the standard ones are everywhere.
Yeah.
This feels like an everywhere distribution, but a higher quality everywhere distribution.
But is Dragon's...
It's a milk stout.
Right, but is the base barrel? Or are all the reserves the barrel one?
I think Dragon's Milk's barrel all around.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, but I think it's barrel all around. But this is interesting because it does feel like it could be a house beer. And it might be. Fuck, I don't know. I don't know anything about this brewery. 1,900 check-ins is too low for a house beer, though. Especially one owned by Bell's.
Yeah, but then again, if it's Upper Hand, and
nobody knows
you
that Bell's owns
it.
It
depends
yeah.
on like how much are you putting out in distro versus on like having it on tap and stuff. I don't. There's something about it that just does not scream once a year.
Like limited batch. Yeah. yeah.
Like this all like the can, everything about it screams you can just get this whenever you want.
And I would not hate on having just. Four or five of them to keep in the refrigerator, because if you're feeling a dark beer and you're not feeling like chewing on your beer and feeling sick as shit after, like, you know, you can't drink three of some of the beers that we, I mean, you can,
trust us, the perfect beer for after shoveling snow.
Yeah.
And like, we don't get what they get in Upper Peninsula, but like, even what we get here, it's like when you get done, you're like, I want something roasty
yeah,
and
sit
dark
by the fire
and
drink this. Yep. Yeah.
I don't want
perfect.
A cream ale. I want something that's going to make me feel...
I want a warm and fuzzy.
Feel warm inside. And this would definitely hit that.
On the house beer, this would be higher, I think, personally.
Probably, because that's just
but
dumb.
I don't know that it's a house beer. I think it's a specialty,
no,
technically.
I think until we're told otherwise, it is a specialty. And if someone comes back and says, this is on tap 24/7, then we...
Change it.
Then we just have a quick little
Friday
discussion.
Release,
and,
yeah.
yeah, we have a quick little discussion and update our ranking.
I think it's between 13 and 15 for me.
Okay.
Because, dude, it's just so clean.
So it is going to go above Odd Side?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just like it.
I do, too. It is just weird to have... That Gaelic ale and then this one and just
two out of left field, baby.
Just kind of blown away of like I had no expectations, or like after taking a few drinks, my expectations were like bad and then it turned into great because it was just kind of too cold at the beginning. I feel like that hipster brunch was pretty good. But yeah, I think you're right though. There's something about this that the only thing I wish is that we got more of the base beer. That's the only thing I feel like holds it back from what we discuss. I think as a beer overall, I think it works really well. But I think if we're going to use the BJCP as some sort of guideline of maybe the quality to it or something, like you're missing all of that, at least in this can.
Yeah, I assume it's missing in all of them for this.
Like you're just, it's all gone, which is weird. Like how the hell do you lose all that from an imperial stout, like unless your base beer is not very good?
I mean,
or like it's missing all of that to begin with.
But it could be a super, like if you were to take Old Rasputin and put it in whiskey barrels, I think it wouldn't have a whole lot of the roast. It would be super
say they do that, so
yeah. But I think it would be super whiskey forward, like this, like that whiskey and oak, and it's definitely oak forward here, and that's interesting to me. Yeah. I don't generally pull a lot of oak out of beers, and this one's like very apparent.
I think I could do 14.
I was saying, I'm not tied to this one, so I'm open to the bay. But
there's just something about it that like it feels too high, but at the same point doesn't.
I mean, hey, look, if you've got a goddamn good beer, you got a goddamn good beer. Doesn't matter who makes it, right?
No,
I mean, is to be fair, we've got two that we've had on the show that we didn't actually rate, and they would go 1-2 respectively. Yeah. They've got the one from Burial and the one from Social Project.
Yep.
They would go 1-2, no questions asked. And then Ghost Chant is just stupid good.
Yep. We put Perennial Salted Chocolate Abraxas at 10.
Which was good.
And I don't think this passes that. And then Mexican Cake, I just think it hits all the notes. Like, that thing is complex, isn't it? Maybe Mexican Cake is too low.
And it might be. We may have had, like, maybe we just weren't geared up again.
Like,
or
the second one that we had.
Yeah, so you're going to South Carolina soon, so bring some variants and shit.
But oh, yeah, we will have a...
I think it fits. I think it fits mid-15, 14, right in that range.
Yeah, I'm okay with 14. I think it... I could...
It could move later down or... could move up. We might just be like, I remember drinking, like, that was good, like, that was fun, it was light.
I do think it'll be one that we do remember, and I think that probably helps rating wise because, like, we're sitting here talking about the odd side one, and it's like, I really can't remember a lot about that beer. Like, I remember it being very mapley and like enjoying that.
It was in a crowler or a growler. Yeah. So,
but I'm okay with this because
I bought it from a climbing gym.
So we will go with number 14. So that is going to do it for today's episode.
But man, if you find any Upper Hand stuff, try it, because this one's good, and I just out of the blue found it. So
yeah, I'd be interested to know what else of theirs is good, or if this was just a apparition, since I think their brewery was what, like a 3.63, and this one was like basically a 3.98 or something. So. That may not speak well to the brewery as a whole, but...
What spells as a whole do you know off the top?
No.
I just feel like Bells might get some of the ding that these, like, larger regional breweries get, but I'm going to tell you, Bells makes some of the best beer in the country.
Well, yeah. Hop Slam is, like, one of my favorites overall. 3.85.
Yeah, so even that is low, but that also factors in some of the, like, house beers.
It's also 698 beers. That's 4.5 million ratings.
Woo.
For a brewery in general.
Damn.
So.
That's high.
And they've been around since 85. Holy crap.
Yeah, they're an OG.
Yeah, but that's, like, OG. I forgot about their Black Note Stout.
Well, yeah, then Bell's did the Saturn and Jupiter and the, like, space series.
That's a brand we need to bring on.
Yeah, for sure.
Soon.
But on that note, enjoy it.
We'll be back on Friday with something.
Yeah, who knows what.
Yeah, probably a Friday 4-pack.
All right, cheers, guys.
Cheers.